out. We are definitely into the Christmas season. And I'm wondering, before we talk about your book, do I need a trigger warning for my listeners? Because the title of your book is The Dangerous Christmas Ornament.
Yeah. Which means these days they'll probably outlaw it.
Well, exactly. I'm concerned. I think about, there's a couple of listeners that come right to mind that when they hear the word dangerous, they're going to reflexively reach for their pearls and clutch the hell out of them because the word
probably
dangerous.
Some people will do that, and if they actually open the book and read it, they might be pleasantly surprised. It does take place in the year 1999, where things were a little more sane in our public schools, perhaps not much. It's about it's told in the first person. I wrote it, but it's written as if it's written in the first person by a 12-year-old in the sixth grade. He has an eccentric aunt that gives his family a dangerous Christmas ornament is the title of the book. But what she calls it when she gives the family is it's a magic Christmas ornament. The parents don't know about it. She explains the rules. It's a twist on an Aladdin's lamp. When you make a wish, you don't have to rub it. If you're in the same room with the ornament, if you're holding it or if it's on the tree or you have it in your pocket, if you make a wish, the ornament may or may not grant you the wish. But if it grants you the wish, something bad will happen to somebody else who was in the room at the same time as you. So what this is doing is it's actually teaching Judeo-Christian values about personal responsibility and considering how our actions have consequences. But if you go on Amazon.com, you can buy it on Amazon or off Barnes & Noble, ebook and print copy. Read some of the customer reviews from parents, from a middle school teacher. One person, his kid hated to read. He hated it, but he had to read during homeroom. So he asked dad if he could borrow his Kindle and read something. His dad had read this book a year ago, I guess, when it came out. He was not able to get the kid to put the Kindle down when he was going to bed at nights. He would say, yeah, got to go to bed. He'd sneak out and he'd read it. It's got a lot of humor, a lot of sarcasm. It has a talking cat because he makes the cat talk as one of his wishes. You get to hear what a cat might say.
And the cat, by the way, the cat's name is Caligula, which kills
Caligula,
me.
Caligula, wanted to name him after a Roman emperor. And the idea behind it, actually the aunt explains that cats always could talk English or any human language if they wanted to, but they don't because there's an understanding amongst cats that if humans knew how intelligent they were, they put them to work. So the dad, not believing any of this, says, oh, so what you're saying is cats are Democrats. And then the kid in the narration says, well, I stopped listening after that because I never understand what they're talking about with Democrats or Republicans. But it's about personal responsibility. People find it hilarious. Of course, the cat, then the reason he's talking to the kid is the kid makes the cat talk against his will with the ornament. He's not eating his lima beans at the dinner table. His little six-year-old sister finks on him. So he sees the ornament hanging in the other room. He leans down, whispers a wish that the ornaments would disappear off his plate. And then he realizes something bad's going to happen to someone else. Suddenly appears on his sister's plate, and she had just finished hers. That was a harmless one. So he goes, oh, you know, nothing really bad's happening. Nobody's getting killed. But as you can probably guess, throughout the story, he keeps making more wishes, and it gets him into trouble because something bad happens. Then he makes another wish to get out of that, and then something bad, and it just gets into the spiral. It's an ending nobody's been able to figure out. I can't stand canned Hollywood. And if any of your listeners read it already, there's actually a sequel out now called Inside the Castle in the Glass. A castle in the glass is what the ornament looks like. And that takes place a number of years later when the kids are now in high school. That was a little deeper, a little darker, but all ages. If you like the Wonder Years or the movie A Christmas Story, adults who find it amusing and sentimental to go back and remember what it was like to look at life through the lens of a child. That's why adults love it. Kids love it just because it's tracking with them the story in its own right. Kids in elementary school, primary grades, middle school, high school. I did a dramatic reading of it to a group of college students at ASU on a Saturday night on a retreat. It took 3 hours to read it. I read the first 90 minutes, said, we'll do the rest tomorrow morning. They wanted me to finish it that night.
Okay, that's so awesome. And I love the way
that... From college, so yeah, I just hope people will go out and read it. The people who've read it so far have just absolutely, absolutely loved it. And just don't take my word for it. Go read the professional review and the customer reviews, which I think have even more credibility with people these days. Go to Amazon, The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. Bob Siegel is my name. There's other novels too, but this is the one, of course, over Christmas that I really want to push.
Sure. Well, one of the things I'll do is when I do the summary of the show later today for my website, I will take a picture of the book cover and then link it directly to the Amazon site. All right. So if folks want to pay attention to other stuff that you're saying and doing, where do they follow you online, Bob?
Okay. BobSiegel.net. Bob Siegel, S-I-E-G-E-L. It's .net, not .com, but the truth is if they just typed my name on any search engine, I would come up immediately. They'd ask you first if you meant Robert Siegel from NPR. For having the same name, you couldn't possibly have two radio hosts who are more diametrically opposed. They'll ask you if you meant him, but I'll be the first Bob Siegel that pops up on Google anyway. And there you can listen to my own radio show. It's on Sunday nights from 6 to 7 live. Gets repeated a few times during the week, but they can always download it the next morning. It's there. I do a column for Communities Digital News. It's called Forbidden Table Talk. But if they just found my website, they'd find links to the books, links to the radio shows, articles. I've written a lot of articles about theology and the Bible. I do a lot of things about politics too. Some of my listeners prefer politics, some prefer religion. I do a lot about the arts. I do movie reviews. I'm just very opinionated about a lot of things, but I do respect the opinions of others. And there's a lot of debates. You can listen to a lot of on-air debates I've had where sometimes right in the middle of the debate, the atheist or whoever has stopped and commented about what a friendly, respectful conversation we have. I've also debated Muslims on the question of whether Islam is a violent religion or not. It is, actually. That doesn't mean all Muslims are violent. Yeah, big surprise after the news yesterday. The Quran really does command Muslims to go out and either subdue them to their religion or pay tribute or execute them. There are a lot of Muslims that live in the Western world who don't know the Quran any better than somebody who calls himself a Christian might not know the Bible. So that doesn't mean that every time I meet a Muslim, I'm assuming that. But the Quran says that. Muhammad, who started them, said that. How do you think he took over Arabia? By buying free Slurpees for everybody and a dozen roses and a box of See's candy? He preached violence.
It was happy, friendly, and loving. Look, well,
Bob, of course, they would join hands and sang Kumbaya, and then suddenly the coast of Arabia became his. It was magic. But if you want real magic, never mind that. Go to the Dangerous Christmas Ornament.
The Dangerous Christmas Ornament. All right, Bob, we are slightly over time, man, so we have got to go. Thanks so much for coming on today. Have a great afternoon, and we'll talk at you down the road, man.
Michael, it's always a pleasure. Great show that you have.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it very much, Bob. Thank you. All right, folks, so there's that for the day. Now, tomorrow, radio host and nationally syndicated columnist Derek Hunter is going to be on the show. It's been like 6 months since Hunter was on, so I'm totally excited about that. So we'll be back a little less than 23 hours. Thanks so much for listening.